Merry Christmas to you. And Merry Christmas to me too. Okay. Let me ask all of you a question. Zach, what's up? Okay, we'll let it go. Zach's going to face that audience over there. What do you have? What time of year is it? Isn't it Thanksgiving?
No. Christmas Eve.
Christmas Eve? Oh, okay. All right. And what did you get me this year for Christmas Eve?
Nothing.
Nothing?
What?
Okay.
No presents at your house.
No presents at my house. That's right. Thanks to you. What is in the middle of your living room? What's unusual about this year that you have in your living? What?
Tree.
Luke, you're telling me you have a tree in your house?
Yeah.
Really?
I have two trees, one upstairs and one downstairs.
Two trees, one upstairs, one downstairs. That's double the absurdity. What? So you have a tree in your house. Why do you have a tree? Why is there a tree, Samuel? Why do you have a, what's up with? What's that?
To decorate it.
To decorate it. So you have a tree to decorate it. Okay. I need another answer. That's an answer. Yes, sir. Tell me, why is there a tree in your living room? So that you have a place to put the presents. I get it. All right. Is there any spiritual or Christian reason why you have a tree in the middle of your house at Christmas time? Is there any reason, Zach, why there is? What is the reason for a tree in your house, Zach? Okay, all right. He's speaking in tongues. He was doing a little tongue speaking there. So no, yeah. So there's a reason, Mrs. Batluck. I mean, Miss. Because you can put an angel or star on top. Okay, good. And that's in the Bible somewhere, right? Okay, well, here's the thing. You see, I'm a Bible teacher, and I believe that what the Bible says is really what's going on. So I'm confused about the tree. So what we have is we have some really crazy people who are going to come out of that door, and they're going to give us a demonstration of a tree, okay? So keep your eyes on these crazy people that are going to come out of here right now. They're going to give us a lesson about trees.
Oh, good day, sir.
Good evening, sir. How are you?
I'm well. I suppose you're here to buy a tree?
His very first Christmas tree ever.
Your first tree?
Yeah.
Your first, like, real tree? Or first, like...
First tree ever.
You haven't even had one of those little plastic ones that things fall off of?
I can't say that I've ever had a tree in my house.
Wow. Well, let's take a look. How about this one?
That's a decent height.
It'll keep your house nice and cozy. It adds some festivities.
And it already has lights.
Yeah, it's ready to go.
I don't know. What else you got?
Well, I've got this beauty here. 10 foot tall, pre-decorated.
What do you guys think?
Half the work's already done.
Yeah?
And I'm still not quite sure.
No? Well, I mean, they're really my best trees. I'd suggest them.
Well, hold on. What about this one?
I mean, it's kind of back here for a reason. It's a
That's
reject.
Not bad. Oh, come on. What do you guys think? That's pretty good.
It's nice. It's missing something. Like,
seriously?
Like a top.
Well, you don't really need a top. I mean, okay, I understand it's a pretty pathetic looking tree, but I mean...
It's a shrub.
It is not. It is not a shrub. But, I mean, come on. With a little bit of decorations, we can fluff it up and it'll look great. I think we should get it.
Okay.
All right. Well, how much?
I can sell it to you for $100.
All right, you're on. See what I got. 70.
You're not seriously going to pay him that, are you?
I am. $100. Thank you very much, sir. All right, guys.
It's all yours.
Let's fix this tree up.
Well,
you spread the branches out.
Okay.
See? Make it look a little bit bigger.
So now it's a bigger shrub.
It is not a shrub. Stop calling it a shrub. All right?
It's the only thing to call it. Okay. Hey, I got this from the store. We could try this.
Yes. Where's the end?
Here it is.
Give me that. What are you doing? No, that's wrong. No, 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 no. all wrong.
Sure. You're an expert in decorating trees.
I am, okay. This is my tree. I'll decorate it the way I want to. Okay. And a few ornaments. Get one out over there.
Okay.
Here. A few more over here.
Oh, we don't have much of a topper, but what do you think about this?
Not bad. Let me see it. I think the topper should go right on top.
No, it was going to go on the bottom.
Don't get sassy with me. Okay, come on, guys. That's a pretty good looking tree, don't you guys think?
For a shrub, I suppose.
Please stop calling it a shrub. It is a tree.
It is a pretty good tree. It's a pretty good tree because he made it that way.
Yes, I did.
Hey, you want to get some hot chocolate?
Sure, sounds like a good idea.
You're paying.
Good job, guys, gals. Well, tell me, what just happened? What just happened up here? What do you think happened? Emma? Okay, thank you. If I let you keep going, you would give me the whole, you know, the Cliff Notes version. I like it. You were paying attention. Thank you, Emma. You're not under fifth grade. You're under fifth grade. You're not. Hannah, what just happened up here? What do you think happened? Yeah.
And they thought it was a bad tree because it was littler than the pretty one and the medium-sized one that had lights and it was already...
Thank you, Hannah. That's absolutely excellent. They picked a tree that no one else would pick, right? Good for you. And then what did he do with it after he picked the tree? What did they do? Not you guys are just too old.
Decoration on.
What did they do right before they did decorations? What did that boy reach for in his pocket?
Money.
And he did what with it?
He
paid for it, didn't he? Okay, thank you. And then what's your name, young lady?
Caroline.
Caroline, what did he do? You said it just a second ago.
He decorated.
Then they decorated it. So they selected the tree, and they didn't select a really nice one, did they? And then they paid for it, and then they decorated it. Listen to me, kids. This is what Jesus did for you. You all, and me, and everyone in this room, God looked at us and He saw a very ugly tree. Why does He see ugliness in us? Because we are sinners. Have you ever disobeyed your parents, young man? Every day. Well, I figured you had, Luke. Since you're a regular attender to the church, I'm certain. Good answer, Luke. Luke, look at me. Good answer. You're right. I love, you know, this is a confessing, repenting sinner. Excellent, Luke. I love it. That's what you are. We're sinners. Do you know what happens because we're sinners? We can't be with God because God has never sinned. But God selected us even when we were sinners. And then He paid for us. He bought us. Not with money, but with what, Hannah?
Gold.
What?
Gold?
Better than gold. Yes, ma'am. Jesus died on the cross. He paid for us with His life, didn't He? And then you know what else He did with us? He decorated us. And He made us beautiful. He made us beautiful because He made us righteous and good. And that's what they just acted out. That's what the tree is. The tree is God selecting us, not because we're pretty, because no one is. Oh, you're pretty on the outside. But in the inside, we're sinners. We do bad things. And then He buys us. And then He adorns us by decorating us. Isn't that beautiful? Next time you remember that Christmas tree in your living room. Wow, that is a picture of God selecting us, buying us, and decorating us. How about that? You never knew that was in a tree, and you didn't care, did you? All right. Why don't you go back to your seat? I'm going to tell you a few things. Why don't you get back there? Thank you for joining me. Ethan, I'm sorry you can't answer the questions. You're too old. Well, thank you, girls and boys, for joining me. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for coming tonight. The story of Christmas goes so far beyond what we normally celebrate. But what we normally celebrate is beautiful. I love it. I love this time of year, and I like gifts. I gotta be honest, you know. I enjoy getting gifts. I enjoy giving them. I enjoy the time of year. I enjoy 75-degree Christmas Eves in Houston, Texas. Met some folks from Chicago tonight, and they've probably never known that. So how many of you are from north of Houston in here tonight? You're visiting from north of Houston. Okay, all right. Got here as quick as you could, right? If you have your Bibles, I would like to go through briefly the Christmas story and show you what exactly it is we're here for. You may already know, and if you already know, I hope that you'll worship along with me in just reliving the greatest story ever told. Now, I can read this text. The background of it is that up to this point, there's a young lady. Her name is Mary. Mary is 12, maybe 13 years old. That's the years that these young girls were betrothed to be married. And she would have been married about a year later. So she would have been about 13 by the time they were married. And Joseph no older than 14 or 15. How about that? You think about that when you got your kids by your side. And I won't go into all of that, but these young kids were making their way from Nazareth in Galilee, 90 miles south into a town named Bethlehem. Because Joseph was from Bethlehem, and he had to be there to register for the census that the governor of the Roman Empire had ordered at that time. Probably for tax reasons. She's very pregnant. She would have gone with him. Makes perfect sense that she would have gone with him. And as they arrive in Bethlehem, we don't know how long they were there, but this is the story of Christmas. Now, I could read it, but I can't do any better than Linus. How about it? Since the kids are with us, let's let Linus tell us the story, shall we? Dan, you want to hit it?
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
True, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night, and lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. The glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.
You can let it roll. Keep letting it roll.
That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
There's his tree. All right, we'll kill it, Dan. If not, we'll stay and watch the whole thing. You know, that is a word for word reading from Luke chapter 2, Linus read from the King James Version of the Bible. And again, I can't say it any better, and it's one of the things, because the kids are in here, that's why we do it. We're not into a bunch of shenanigans here, in case you're visiting, but just for the setting to be set there, that's where we are in the Christmas story, so follow along with me. Luke tells the story in Luke chapter 2, and while they're in Bethlehem, in Luke chapter 2, verse 6, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths, King James Version says, swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. You know, it's amazing how unremarkable Luke's story is. The birth of God just occurred, and we just read about it. There's no fanfare there at all. He didn't say, and on a dark, starry night, when the owls were hooting, and the air was crisp, and the wind was blowing, and blah, blah, blah. None of that. There's nothing about this story that's that looks like a myth or looks like someone's making it up. She just came to town and she gave birth to her firstborn. Isn't that amazing? Without any embellishment, she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she did what all women would have done. They wrapped him in these swaddling clothes, number one, to keep him warm and to keep the limbs from bending. You know how this baby's arms and legs are when they come out, right? I mean, their head is, you're not even sure what is up and what's down when a baby comes out. And the arms and legs are everywhere, and the feet, and they're blue, you know. You know, you see, how many of you have seen the Bill Cosby rendition? We know that you just had a lizard because the thing changed colors three times. But none of that is there either. It didn't say he was cute. It didn't say he cried or didn't cry or Mary screamed. She just had her firstborn son. God just came in to a world of darkness. The light was birthed into the darkness. And this historian Luke just gives us that in no uncertain terms. She wrapped him in cloths, laid him in a manger. This is a feeding trough, as you know. That would be where she is. We don't know exactly where they were. Their inns were not the Holiday Inn Express. They didn't have a baby, a pack and play, as it were. She would have put him wherever she could to be safe. A feeding trough. Let's put all the slime out and put some straw in there and put the baby in there. I'd have done the same thing, I guess. It's probably perfect for that. In verse 8, it says, In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. So in the basic area, there's shepherds out in the field. That's where shepherds were. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terribly frightened. You know, every time an angel appears to a human being in the Bible, the human being or beings that are appeared to are afraid. Apparently, an angel, when an angel appears, is a frightening thing. It's one that, you know, I don't know what they look like. I don't know if they have wings or if they sing, but they are apparently very frightening creatures. They are heavenly beings. And these shepherds were sorely afraid, terribly frightened. But note here, it's an angel, it's one angel, and the glory of God surrounds this angel. One of the things we know about angels is that they stand in the presence of God. Gabriel, we know, for instance, stands right next to God as a messenger angel. When God says, go tell, he does. Because in the book of Daniel, God gives Gabriel a message, and before Daniel even finishes his prayer and says amen, Gabriel is right there at his side. So wherever God is, wherever angels are, they're able to make their move from where they are to where we are in an instasecond. And this angel with the glory of God around him appears to these shepherds in the night. Don't you think that God would have appeared? Doesn't it make more sense, though, that God would appear to in the temple? I mean, why wouldn't he show up in the temple that day and greet the Sadducees and the scribes and the high priest and those high and mighty, pious Pharisees? Why not appear to them? He appeared to the lowly ones. The lowly ones. You know, those high and mighty ones thought they had everything. They thought they were the cat's meow. So the glory of the Lord appears instead to the lowly. And I think that pictures that little ugly tree that Daniel selected. That's what God did. He selected a little ugly man like me. And I may be ugly or beautiful on the outside. That's for you to decide and keep to yourself. But on the inside, I'm full of dead men's bones. I am a wretched sinner just like you. I'm better than some, worse than most. And it doesn't matter. I've sinned once, I've sinned forever. I have fallen short of the glory of God. God has to make me holy because I can't do it. How many of you can? How many of you think that you've made yourselves holy? I mean, everyone here will admit that you've done something wrong. And if you've done something wrong, then you're no good. You're not good enough to be with God in eternity. You can't make it. God had to. He didn't have any big, beautiful trees to go to. All he had to select from were a bunch of pathetic, ugly trees like this. Like me. Like you. And so, in a symbolic way, appearing to these unclean shepherds, these blue-collar workers, as it were, he appears to them and shows his glory all around them. Verse 10 says, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news. That good news is gospel. That's what the word is in the Greek text. The gospel, euangelion, of great joy, which will be for all people. Notice he doesn't say, just going to be for the white folks in North America. It doesn't say that for the black folks who live in Africa. It doesn't say that it's for the Jews who live in Palestine. It's good news for all people. I love that. And that's what the angel who stands in the presence of God came to tell us. And that's what I'm telling you tonight. Passing on an old story that way. He says in verse 11, "For today in the city of David," that would be Bethlehem, where David was born, "there has been born to you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior. He is the Savior, and there's at least two titles given to him here. Christ, which means the Anointed One or Messiah. He's the long-awaited king that Israel has waited for. Someone that's kind of like King David, but better. All of Israel longed for this king. And he's saying that's who's been born. The king has been born. He is the Lord. Note this. The word for Lord is the same word for Yahweh or Jehovah, God in the Old Testament. God has become flesh. He has been born through a woman. God has come not to just select pathetic, ugly trees, but to redeem them, to buy them, not with money, but with blood, his own blood. And as the angel tells them this, and as they are afraid, he says, "This will be a sign," in verse 12, "for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." That's a beautiful scene if you think about it. There was one angel, and now all of a sudden there's a multitude of them. And by the way, those multitude of angels are always out there. And apparently at this moment, they became manifest. You and I cannot see them. Now I would caution you to not go around looking for angels. Angels don't save. They don't even allow us to bow to them. They say they are fellow servants of God. Certainly if you look at the angels' view in the book of Revelation. But really what you see is this huge multitude. All of a sudden they're manifest, and these shepherds must have had the hair on their backs rise up, right? What a crummy vision that is. Fear and excitement. What have we just heard? What are you talking about? You mean a king has been born? Yes. Go to the city of David and you'll find him laying in a feeding trough. And what did they do? They went. Verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they know that the Lord has made it known to them. And it's amazing. They just got good news shared to them. And what did they do? They reacted. A lot of people get good news shared to them. Some of you will have good news shared to you, and you will only react with disbelief. There's nothing I can do about that. There's nothing people around you can do. We can pray for you, and we might see you back again next year at your annual trek to church, and we'll try again. Ultimately, it's God's choice. It's God's decision, because God is the one that selects. Before we're ever born, God selects. And with those He selects, He draws to His Son, according to John 6:44. God Himself says, or Jesus Himself says this, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws that person to me." That's beautiful. Offensive to many, beautiful to Christians. So these men reacted and they go straight to Bethlehem. They know that it's God who's made this known to them. In verse 16, it says, "So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph." We're not told how long it took them. We're not told how long they searched around the city, or if they looked on every inn door and looked in every cave, wherever they were. We just know that they found them. God may have led them directly to them. There is no star at this point. The star appears much later for the wise men to come into town and notice the house which Jesus is in. That happens much later. That might be new news to you. But those magi or wise men do not come upon the scene for another couple of years. This is the night Jesus is born. They came in a hurry. They found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. Now again, these are stinky, smelly shepherds. I mean, have you ever smelled a shepherd? I'm guessing they stink. Would you ladies, having birthed your children, want a room full of shepherds filing into the room, right? The doctor's going, "No, no, no." And these smelly guys come in with sheep stuff on them, and they come into the room to see your baby. Well, it's a little different then, but still the same. What must Mary and Joseph thought? Verse 16, they came in a hurry and found the way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. So picture the scene. Mary and Joseph have just had this child. The child is sitting there, the little drummer boy is sitting there playing a tune, right? That's not happening. Don't take me seriously on that. They're sitting there rejoicing in their baby. They're probably grinning ear to ear. They know what's happened, and yet they're confused about what's happened. I mean, she was a virgin, for crying out loud. That's unusual for a virgin to have a child. They know because of what the angel has told them and how they've been protected that this child they're holding is God in the flesh. What must they have talked about? And now all of a sudden, apparently a bunch of other people were there because it says the angels began to make known the statement about them to the people. It says in verse 18, and all who were there wondered about it. That means other people are gathered. Now picture that scene again. You're there, and these shepherds show up, and they start telling us, hey, we just found, you won't believe what we just saw. We just saw an angel and then a bunch of angels who told us to run into this town and we would find this baby, and lo and behold, we have found this baby. That's an amazing story. And if you're a mother having just given birth, or a father watching over your wife and child, you're going to think, that's unusual. Where did these guys come from? How do they know who we just had? But as they make their story known about this child, verse 18 says, and all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. People do that. Some of you will go away tonight and you'll wonder about this story. Maybe for 2 seconds. Maybe that's all you'll give it. Maybe you'll wonder about it all night. Maybe you'll wonder about it into tomorrow. Maybe you'll think about it. Maybe you'll talk about it at dinner tonight or tomorrow. Wondering about Christ. Not just wondering if it's true, but wondering if you want to do anything with the truth of this story. God becoming flesh. God coming down. You know why God had to become flesh? Because in our flesh, we can't do what God requires. If you tried tonight, and you said tonight, okay, tonight's the night. Excuse me. I'm going to be perfect from here on out. No more sins. I'm done. I'm going to be perfect from here on out. I mean, we would laugh at you. Whoever you tell that to will laugh at you. You might be well-meaning, but it ain't going to happen. And the moment you say that, you've just sinned. Because you can't do it. We'll never be able to do it. Maybe you're better tonight and over the course of this next year, 10 years, but you're not going to be good enough. You can't be good enough. So God had to become flesh. He had to become like me. He had to become like you. So that He could go into this world, come into this world, and live this life that you and I live. Be tempted as we are tempted. Face pain and suffering as you and I suffer pain and have trials and deal with certain issues, family issues. Some of you are right in the midst of a family issue because it's Christmas. And every Christmas you have the same family issue. And you dread it and you're sitting next to family members that you wish were not in town. And some of you who are in town are wishing you were not in town. That happens year after year. Christmas after Christmas, Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving. I'm asking you, I'm challenging you to wonder about the story of God becoming flesh. Because if He didn't live your life and die your death, then you and I would stand before God with nothing. We would just say, Lord, I did the best I could. And He would say, Lance, thanks for trying. But you are not good enough to be with me. I am holy and you're not. That's why God became flesh. He came down to earth to be a man, to do what you and I can't do. And then to say, because I did it, you can have it. I've done it. You can connect yourself with me by having faith in me. And then God says, this is an amazing story, is that God says, okay, if you believe in my Son who did what you can't do, I will declare you as righteous as He is.
Amen.
Absolutely perfect. Amen. Yeah, I've used the example before. Let me use it again. Let's just use the Houston Texans. Houston Texans might actually... Okay, they might actually win the Super Bowl. Let's assume they do. Those of you who are Texans fans, and you have your hat and your shirt, you will say at the end of the game, we won. We won. Now, if you're a player for the Texans, and you hear somebody say that, you'd go, you won nothing. We won. But you did win. You're the... I hate to say it. You're the 12th man. Sorry, Longhorn fans, I really am. It's not in my notes. I don't know where it came from. But because the Aggies believe that the 12th man are their fans who help them win, you will be a part of the fanfare of those who help the Texans win. We won. You will identify yourself with the championship team by wearing a shirt, a hat, a collar, shoes, bells, whatever, and you will say, we won the championship of 2012. And you didn't do jack squat. That's the same thing as what Jesus did. Jesus won the victory.
Hallelujah.
And how we identify with His victory is by faith. That's our hat. the hat of faith. We are now identified with the victor, and we are the victors. And those of us who have been transformed, we run in a hurry to do what we've been called to do. And we come and we tell the story. Here's what happened. Here's why we're here. I'm standing up here today to tell you why I'm here. Is it because I long to be a preacher? Only nerds long to be preacher. And you're thinking, but you're a nerd. So hey, that's par for the course. I didn't. No one does. I just can't stop talking about this stuff. It's all I care to talk about. It's the only thing really worth talking about, other than when the Cowboys win the Super Bowl. But all who heard it wondered at the things that they were told by them and the shepherds. Now notice what Mary does. Mary doesn't wonder. She treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. While they're talking about it outwardly, she's wondering. Over the last 9 months, I'm visited by an angel, Gabriel, same guy that visited Daniel. I'm told that I'm going to have a baby. I've never been with a man. I'm pregnant. I've had a child. I'm in Bethlehem where the child is supposed to be born according to the Micah 5:2 prophecy. Shepherds have come out of nowhere. Elizabeth's baby, my near relative, leaped in her womb when he heard the sound of my voice. That's odd. So she's pondering what's going on. I would love to have talked to her. No doubt it is Luke that interviewed Mary. Mary would have told him these things firsthand because Luke researched these things. She lived in his lifetime. He would have known her. She's treasuring these things in her heart. I've got to ask you, you're either going to wonder about this or you're going to ponder it or both. If you keep it inside and ponder it, I hope that you'll finally get to a point where you say, all right, here's what I think. I think that Luke was right. I think that God did become flesh and that Jesus is God and that because I can't do anything right and He did everything right, if I'll identify with Him by faith, I will have done everything right. Even though I've done everything wrong. That's the story of Christmas. God selects us before time. God purchases our redemption. And God adorns us with His glory. And this next year, if you're an artificial tree person, it doesn't work. But if you buy a new tree every year, you go out and you find yourself a tree. And you select that tree. And you can get an ugly one or a pretty one, doesn't matter. But you select, it'll be your choice. And you reach in your pocket and you pay for it and you remember the blood of Jesus. And then you go home and you adorn it and you think every row of ugliness that you put around that tree, I mean beauty, around that tree. And all the ornaments that you put, you think about all the ways in which God has blessed you and given you not only what you have today, but life eternal that awaits us. And if that life that you have today, as the breath you suck in right now, if it should go away tonight, praise God that you're going straight to be with Him. This little baby, you see, was later nailed to a cross and a bloody death. He's not a baby. He's not the baby Jesus to us. He is God in the flesh.
Amen.
And He bought our salvation. I don't know about you folks, but I can be honest enough with myself to know I am not worthy of that. There is nothing I've done that could be worthy of it. And I recognize that preachers are typically seen either as used car salesmen and lawyers, right? Or we're seen and held high as holy men. Everywhere I go, people say, Lance, would you like to pray? You're the holy man, right? You pray. So some do think that, but I'm not. If you're one of those people that think highly of me, I'm just like you. I'm a sinner. And I do better every day. I do better every year. I'm a better man today than I was, but I will never be good enough, ever. Not in and of myself. And neither will you. You can't do it. And those of you who are struggling with sins that you say, I can't stop doing this. No, you can't. Until you place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Then He transforms us. And for those of you sitting there saying, wait a minute, I'm a Christian and I still don't think I can do it. Maybe you really don't know Christ. Because when God lives in your being, when He has you, all you want to do is please Him. All you care to do is please Him. He came to earth into the darkness and shined His light. Or I should say, shone His light to give us eternal life. Who's in? As we close our service tonight, the ladies are going to come play. We usually close our worship service with a contemplative moment whereby you just pray, get right with God. Remember, at least in this moment, what Christmas really is and what you're really doing and the tree that you stand under What happened to that tree is a metaphor for what's happened to you and to me. And if you do not know Jesus Christ, let me tell you very quickly, you don't owe any money to Him because you can't pay Him enough. You don't owe any good works to Him because you'll never do enough. You owe Him absolutely nothing because you can't give anything worth giving. Only thing He's saying is, trust in me. I will take care of you. Trust in me. I will take care of you. It's a once and for all thing. You can do it where you sit. You can walk up here and ask me to pray with you. I'll do that. You can do it from where you sit. You can come later. You can do it tomorrow. Do it today. Ladies, where are you? Come forward. Let me pray. Lord, thank you for the gathering and for each person here. Thank you for your word. Thank you for these children. Look into their beautiful eyes and hear their answers. And they've been taught by their parents and to love Jesus. I pray, Lord, that you would transform their lives as they grow. I pray, Lord, that those of us who have been transformed would give you honor and glory for what you've done for us. And I pray, Lord, that at the very least we would go home tonight with an attitude adjustment for what Christmas really is. That we would continue to look forward to these gifts in the company of loved ones, but that we would most importantly put our focus on Jesus, our Lord and Savior, in whose name we pray. Amen. Just remain silent as the ladies play, if you would.